we won't be done by noon. We'll try our best to be done as soon as afternoon as possible, but probably not right on the hour this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to, before getting into things, say thank you to those who came to our 25th wedding anniversary celebration on Wednesday night. Appreciated everyone who came, and for those who were here, and you heard people share all kinds of glowing things about us. Well, the things about Kelly, they were all true. Those things, and the things that were said about me, I'll get you your money soon, I promise. I'm good for it. All right, well, we won't have a PowerPoint. I'm looking at 2 Kings in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 2. And Father, I just want to pray that you would stir our hearts through the Scriptures and enlighten us, illuminate us, teach us, and stir us up, Lord, in our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through about 18. Story of Elijah ascending into heaven and his servant Elisha receiving the mantle. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent. Don't want to talk about it." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And this would have been the same location where the nation of Israel first crossed the Jordan under Joshua, just opposite of Jericho. Same place. Once again, the waters are parted there, and this time just the two guys cross over. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not send anyone. Don't bother. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send them. Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? It's kind of a good story, a good scripture for New Year's, time of change and transition. New Year's is typically a time of reflection in people's lives and a time of planning, looking ahead, what am I going to do this coming year? Although there's nothing in Scripture that says you have to pay attention to the calendar, you don't have to make one day more special than another. There's nothing particularly spiritual about doing that. In fact, Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, it says that one person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. If you observe the day, you observe it to the Lord. If you do not observe the day, you do not observe it to the Lord. And either way, the emphasis in there is to give thanks to the Lord and don't judge one another. So New Year's in and of itself, just because it's on our calendar, it's kind of a part of our culture, doesn't mean that it's the most important thing on the face of the earth, but it does seem to be a time in our culture when we, most people have a day off or two, and we take some time to, of course, some people take time to celebrate more than they should, probably. You know, Israel had 2 New Years on their calendar. They had 2 calendars, a religious calendar and a civic calendar. So they got 2 New Years during the year. It's like some people have 2 birthdays during the year for whatever reason, you know. If you want to, I mean, you can have your actual birthday and then you can have your spiritual birthday when you're born again. Well, anyway, the word that I want to bring, simply this: are you ready to move on with the Lord? You know, we have a walk with the Lord. And a walk with the Lord, it's not a sit with the Lord, it's a walk with the Lord. It's a journey. Life is a journey, an ongoing journey. And sometimes we just kind of stroll along casually. Sometimes we're running to keep up with the Lord because things are moving fast in life. Life is a lot like Israel's journey through the wilderness in the book of Exodus. Sometimes they got to camp out for a while in one spot, but as soon as the presence of the Lord lifted up from over the tabernacle and started moving, everybody had to pack up really quick and follow. They didn't stay in any one place forever. Well, Elisha had been following Elijah for some time. Ever since the day that the prophet walked by and cast his cloak over the farmer and called him out of the farming life and into the prophetic ministry. And Elisha had spent most of that time as a personal servant to Elijah. Didn't get to do much prophesying, per se. He was mostly serving. This whole time he was following day by day, and now it was time to step into a new role. He was to become the prophet, the leader. It was a time for many new things. At that point in time, in the history of Israel, many things were happening. Governments were being turned over. Not only Israel, but Judah and Syria. God had told Elijah to appoint certain individuals to be the next kings of those nations. And so governments were in the process of turning over. And Elijah's time was coming to an end. And he represented one kind of ministry, kind of a rough and tumble, out in the wilderness type of prophetic ministry. And now it was time to turn things over, and the nation was going to experience a more genteel, suburban, communal type ministry under Elisha. And the schools of the prophets could come out of hiding. They'd been under persecution for many years, but now they were going to enjoy a time of relative tranquility and some prosperity. So things were happening, but even the sons of the prophets couldn't foresee everything that was going to happen. They knew, they're coming out of the woodworks and they're coming up to Elisha. Do you know the Lord's going to take your master away from you today? But they didn't foresee everything. Now, each of the places that's mentioned in this story has some meaning or significance, a spiritual meaning. And we could unpack a lot of stuff just with each of those places. We don't really have time for that this morning. But they started out in Gilgal, which is a place of sacrifice. And it's the place where Samuel and Saul dedicated the kingdom, the new kingdom of Israel, to the Lord. It wasn't a kingdom before that because they didn't have a king. But it was a place of sacrifice and dedication. And Bethel is the house of God. What that name means. And it's where Jacob, on his journey, was sleeping, his head on the rock for a pillow, and had the dream of, and he saw a ladder up into heaven or a staircase up into heaven, and he saw the Lord. And when he woke up, he said, I'm in the house of God here, and I didn't even know it. And Jericho is a place of victory where the walls came tumbling down before Joshua. And then we have the Jordan River, place of baptism, where at one time a whole nation passed through and was, in a sense, baptized and entered into the promised land, a point of entry into the promises. And when we're traveling through life, our tendency is to see each station along the way as the final destination. That's just a human tendency. Oh, we overcame that obstacle. I got this far. Oh, this is it. I've arrived. I am now a mature and complete Christian. And we want to stay at that point, but of course the Lord is saying, no, there's more. Come along. Got further to go, more down the road, or over the next hill, or across the river. And so this is kind of the thing to guard against, is this desire to stay in one place and never change. Because what we do then is we make a shrine. And we, what do you do with a shrine? You put an idol in. Take the gifts of God and turn them into idols and bow down to them. That's what Israel did. When they were having a little problem with snakes one time, and Moses was instructed, he built a pole with a bronze serpent on it, and the people of Israel could look at that and be delivered and be healed. They took that bronze pole. And a party of them, at least, took that and carried it with them on their journey, hung on to that thing, and they set it up in a certain town, and they worshipped it for the next 600 years. You don't hear about it until about 600 years later. I think it was Hezekiah came and destroyed it. It's the next time you hear about it in the Chronicles of Hezekiah. But there they were, worshipping that thing. Now, if you ever read the story of Samson, there was an occasion where Samson was confronted with the Philistines, and it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he took up the jawbone of a donkey out of the dirt and he killed 1,000 Philistines with it. And then he threw the jawbone away into the dirt. And I've often thought it's amazing that they didn't take that jawbone and set that up on a pedestal and worship that thing. But then again, they did call that place the Hill of the Jawbone. That became the name of it. Instead of the Hill of the Spirit of the Lord that came upon Samson, they called it the Hill of the Jawbone. So there was some of that mentality going on there. And we see the same tendency here in this story with the sons of the prophets. Now, they were not clueless. They were informed. They recognized what was going on. They were let in on a little secret. The Lord is about to take Elijah up into heaven. They recognized that the Spirit of the Lord was now on Elisha. They had no problem seeing that. I think they witnessed what was going on from the far bank. They probably even themselves saw the chariot of fire and the horsemen. But they still insisted that they had to have something to hang on to. Some remnant, some husk. We need the body of Elijah. Maybe the Spirit dropped him out there. Let's go look. Elisha knew it was futile. There wasn't going to be any body hanging around out there in the woods, but they kept insisting. They were so set on it, and they made him feel so guilty that he finally gave in. I think that was the only time he gave in to the sons of the prophets on something like that. And they went looking for 3 days trying to find, there's got to be something that we can bring home and we can bury it and set up a tomb and a shrine and, you know, everything would have followed from there. They found nothing. And Elisha can't resist saying, I told you so. I hold you. Don't waste your time. Well, if we look at the history of the church, we see that Christianity is littered with the dead remains of prophets and movements and methods and traditions and just stuff that people have clung to and turned into idols. Set up the shrines. Instead of running on after the Lord, they hang on to these things. And we prop them up and we invest a great deal of time and energy into keeping up some semblance of life around these things. When there's no life there, the Holy Ghost has moved on. We've been talking a little bit with Chuck Porta about the prophetic conference, when would be a good time to do our annual prophetic conference and what the theme might be. And Chuck has proposed that the theme this year should be the release of the Spirit. And that kind of resonates with us. He's saying this is a year for the release of the Spirit. But whether or not that's the theme or whether or not there's even a prophetic conference, it should always be our plan and intent to follow the Spirit. That should always be our plan. And we should always have our eyes set on Him. We should always be alert to what He is doing and what He's saying. And I've mentioned this before, but Elisha had to keep his eyes right on Elijah when they were walking along, and Elijah had said, "You know, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up..." Well, when the Lord takes somebody up, it's quick. It's in the blink of an eye. So this is my imagination, but they're walking along and Elijah's just talking. Elisha's got his eyes just fixed on his master. Elijah maybe even said things, "Oh, look at that over there." "No, I can't. I gotta keep my eyes on you." We need to do the same with the Lord. If we want to get answers to our prayers, if we want to see the fulfillment of visions that God has shown us, keep our eyes on Him. Follow along with Him. That should be our New Year's resolution. It should be our constant resolution. Like Paul said to the Philippians, "One thing I do, just one, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So, let's move on from wherever we're at, whatever the Lord has us in right now, but whatever He's calling us to, let's move on. Individually, corporately, and let's not waste any time or energy trying to prop something up or keep something going or find some semblance of some remnant of some past glory. That's in the past. Forget it. Move on. Well, that's my word for the morning and for the new year. All right, we're going to share communion. And if you would take charge of that, I'd be greatly honored.